Now our message today is taken from Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3, and let me read verse 10 and 11 one more time. And I pray that the Lord would bless His word to your heart. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. God's servants are to declare this message. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. But this is also true. We must declare this as well. We must not leave this part off. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them. For the reward of his hand shall be given him. I've entitled this message for you this morning, as it's found in verse 10, it shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well with the righteous. And I do pray God's blessing on us. Now this promise of God is not given to all men without distinction, is it? For the text does not say that it shall be well with all men without exception. Doesn't say that, does it? It says it shall be well with the righteous. With the righteous. It shall be well only with the righteous. That is, those who are justified before God. Those who are cleared of all guilt before the unbending, unyielding, holy law of God. It shall be well with those justified in Christ Jesus. But God boldly says in the next verse, woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him. And that word ill means bad. It won't be good. It'll be all bad. It'll be all sorrow. It'll all be distress. It'll all be misery. For the wages of sin is death. Those who live in unbelief. Now this is so. Those who live in unbelief and rebellion against the God of Holy Scripture will die as they live. Without God, without hope, and without Christ. Our Lord said in John 8, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Our Lord again said through the prophet John in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's so. This is also so. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those who die in their sin will be raised in their sin. There is going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Those who die in their sin will be raised in their sin and be eternally condemned and punished throughout everlasting ages to come. Now we must determine two things in the beginning of this message. Who are the righteous? And how are they made righteous? Now who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? Now I thought about that when I wrote my brief outline as I started thinking about this message. Who are the righteous? And I put my pen down, pushed back my chair, got up away from my desk and started coming out here as I do often, walk, take a break. And I thought about this to myself. Well, just who are the righteous? How could you sum that up? How do you answer that question? Who are the righteous? Who are those who are justified before God? Who are those? And that's what it means to be righteous, to be justified before God. There's only one plain, simple, and true answer. What's your answer? Who are the righteous? Those found in Christ. That's it. That's it. Those found in Christ. The one the Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. who is all my righteousness before God. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the believer's righteousness. Then the Word of God clearly teaches that. Some of you may have listened to the radio broadcast this morning, and the text was taken from 1 Corinthians 1:30. I would encourage all of you to listen to that radio program and encourage others to hear it. But the verse is, "But of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and He is our redemption." You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything God has provided for His people is in Him. He is the Lord, our righteousness. So how? Who are the righteous? Those in Christ. The second thing we must determine is this. How are they made righteous? Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? They're not righteous in themselves, of themselves. They're not righteous by what they do or do not do. How are they made righteous? How are they justified before God? Well, not by works, but rather by His sovereign purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul wrote back to the preacher friend of his, young Timothy, he said, "Timothy, it's God who saved us. God who called us. Not according to our works." There's the negative. Not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So how are we made righteous? In Christ. In Christ. By His doing and His dying. Not our works. Not our deeds. Not at all. The Scriptures discount our works in any measure as contributing to our salvation. For by grace are you saved. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. There it is again. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Now, if salvation were somewhat by our works, what would we do as being fallen, depraved, wretched creatures that are full of pride and arrogance? What would we do? Pat ourselves on the back and say, "Look what I've done." No, it's not of works. It's look what He has done for us. Look to Christ. Christ alone. God made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. You see, the believer is no longer ignorant of God's righteousness, of His character, nor of the righteousness that's provided in the gospel. No longer going about to establish a righteousness of our own. But we're looking to Christ. We're submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth Him. Now, one old hymn writer said this concerning the believer in Christ. "Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I rest my hope eternally." Upon, as my friend Brother Scott Richardson always used to say, upon the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rest all my hope. Now, listen to this. It is a very interesting fact of Holy Scripture that I found most remarkable over my years of study. God's Word, God's truth. Now you listen to this and put this in your mind somewhere or write it down. Those who are truly made righteous in Christ readily and confess themselves to be sinners before God. I'll give you four examples. We just read a moment ago in Luke 18, the publican cried out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." God said he went home justified. Job, God said he was a righteous man. Here's Job's testimony concerning himself. God said he was righteous. Job's own testimony said, "I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes." All those who are truly made righteous declare themselves sinners. Isaiah, the prophet of God. Read Isaiah 6. We'll be over there in a few weeks. He said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King." He was a righteous, justified man. He looked to Christ for all of his salvation. You know the story of the Apostle Paul. God justified him in Christ. He was a righteous man. God said of him, he's justified. But the Apostle Paul's own testimony is what? I'm the chief of sinners. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You see, those who are truly made righteous by God's grace in Christ declare in and of themselves to be what? What do you think of yourself? Huh? I'm a pretty good fella. No, you're. I hope your estimation of your own self in your own eyes before God is, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner through and through. Now here's the flip side. I've noticed this in reading Scripture as well. Those who are truly wicked, without hope of salvation in Christ, they claim themselves to be righteous. Did you ever notice that? We just read a moment ago about the Pharisee. Prayed with himself and said, "Oh God, I'm so good. I tithe, I do this, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not an extortioner. I've done all these things." And God said he went down to his house condemned. He thought he was righteous. Those in Matthew 7, they thought they were righteous. You remember Matthew 7, where they came before the Lord and said, "Lord, we preach in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. Well, look at us, we're righteous." What did the Lord say to them? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." You see, they claim themselves to be righteous, but in reality, they died without Christ. And here, I think, is the chief example of those who are truly wicked who claim themselves to be righteous. Those who are truly wicked, yet who claim themselves to be righteous. In John chapter 8, when the Lord exposed those Pharisees for what they really were, they said, "Well, Abraham is our father. We be not born of fornication. We're not born in sin. We're not like others." Remember what the Lord said to them? What were they saying? They were saying they were righteous. You remember what the Lord said to them? "You are of your father, the devil, who's a liar, and you're his child." You see, they claimed to be righteous by their doing, and truly, they were not. Isn't this so with you who believe the gospel? Isn't this our experience of our heart? You know that the only hope that you have before God who is holy is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Don't you find delight in His truth, in His Word, and in His gospel? Don't you find sweet delight and comfort resting in Christ alone? Is He enough? Is the Lord Jesus Christ enough? God says He is. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. I'd say that's enough. Being complete in Christ, is that enough? Oh yeah. That's enough. We are the true worshipers of God, who worship God in spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence, none in the flesh before God. Say to the righteous, it shall be well. God instructs me as His servant to tell believers that it shall be well with them. In Acts chapter 13, you remember, "In this man is preached, through this man, in the Lord Jesus Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." It shall be well with the righteous, those who believe Christ. It is so well. Now listen to this. It is so well that it cannot be any better in this life for the believer. It's so well. Now you consider this with me. The believer is well fed, for he feeds abundantly upon Christ, who is the bread of life, Christ, who is the water of life. He said, I am the bread. He that comes to me shall never hunger, shall never thirst. The believer is well clothed. Well clothed. For he wears a garment of salvation tailored by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's clothed us with the garments of salvation. He's clothed us with a robe of righteousness. He's well housed. He lives rent free. Will never be evicted from the household of faith. He's made us sons of God in Christ Jesus. And the believer's well married too. He's well fed, well clothed, well housed, well married. See what I'm saying? Can't get any better in this life being one with Him. Well married, for the church is married to Christ and that eternal covenant of grace. You know, over here, turn to Isaiah 54. You know what calls the Lord Jesus our husband? He's our husband. Isaiah 54, verse 5. Isaiah 54, verse 5. You want to mark these two verses. For thy maker is thy husband. We're created in Christ Jesus. He's our maker. Thy maker is thy husband. I'm married to Him. The Lord of hosts is His name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall He be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou was refused, saith God. The Lord Jesus Christ married us in that covenant of grace. So it shall be well. It shall be well with the righteous. Now, all grace now, and all glory forever. It shall be well with the righteous. But God also instructs me to warn you with this. It shall be ill. Woe unto the wicked. Woe unto the wicked. Now, I have 2 points. Number one is this. You probably guess what it is. It shall be well with the righteous. That's point number one. So let's consider that. I have 4 things under that first point. It shall be well with the righteous. It is well with the righteous always. Always. In all times, at all seasons. Not just some days, but all days. There's no time included, so all time is included. There's no occasion singled out. It doesn't say that he'll be well with the believer in the morning. It doesn't say that. It says it shall be well with the believer. No occasion is singled out, but upon every occasion, the saying is true. From the first of the year until the end of the year, it shall be well with the righteous. The steps of a righteous man, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Aren't you glad He orders your steps? From the rising of a sun until the sunset, in young age, old age, no age is included. It shall be well with the righteous. Oh, God, give us ears to hear that. It shall be well with the righteous. I can boldly repeat what God has already declared in His blessed Word. It is well with my soul. It is well with the righteous. He is a river forever flowing and flooding His people with all spiritual blessing. For He is a river of water in this dry and thirsty land. He is the river forever flowing with all spiritual blessing He has blessed us with in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's an ocean of never failing delights. An ocean. He's the ocean of never failing delights. The psalmist writes, delight thyself in the Lord, for He shall give thee the desires of your heart. He is an ocean of never failing delights. I remember reading a story years ago about a poor little widow woman who lived over in England somewhere. She didn't have much all of her life. Died poor and bankrupt. Didn't have much. And one day she had never been to the ocean, and one of her sons said, Mom, I want to take you and let you see the ocean. And they came to the beach on the ocean shore, and she looked out over that vast. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? As you look at the vastness of that water. And she remarked to the son, "Oh, I'm glad to see something that there's plenty of." And you know what he said? "Mom, you just seen the top side. There's a whole bunch underneath." Oh, he's an ocean of delight to his people. He is a mountain of endless, abundant mercy. "For goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He's the mountain of endless, abundant mercies. He's plenteous in redemption. Now consider this bare outline, four things on this point. It shall be well with the righteous. That's so, isn't it? God says it's so. It's not so because I believe it. It's so because He says it. Whether I believe it or not, it's so. It's so. It shall be well with the righteous. Those in Christ Jesus. Four things. Our sin being dealt with and put away through the glorious blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say it is well with the righteous. It is well with my soul. The songwriter said, "My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul, for it is well with my soul." Our sin being dealt with in Christ being crucified, for He bare our sin in His own body on the tree, considering our sin as against God, we can say, because of that glorious sacrifice of Christ, it is well with the righteous. He put away our sin. You remember back in chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, you remember the glorious words there? "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Sin put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. We studied just recently from Psalm 32 about who is the blessed man. You remember? Some of you were here. Blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is a man whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not charge, impute sin. He has appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Considering our sin is against God, and considering the Lord Jesus Christ has fully made full payment and atonement for the sin of God's covenant people, those sins charged to Him, every believer resting in Christ can say, considering our sin, it is well with our soul. He has put away our sin. So much so that He said their sin and their iniquity, God said, I will remember no more. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. This shall be well with the righteous. Consider this now. Secondly, in the day of heartache, in the day of trial, trouble's coming. Trouble's coming. The promise of the gospel is, we know that all things work together for good to them who, listen, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In the day of trial and heartache, it shall be well with the righteous. It shall be well. For listen to this promise, 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our trial, our heartache that God sends our way doesn't work against us. It works for us. And He calls them light affliction anyway. They're just for a moment. And then they pass away. Our Lord said in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. For in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. You see, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. Now, in a few moments, we're going to turn in our songbook to number 256. And our closing hymn today is written by a man. His name is Horatio Spafford. And long about the mid-1800s, he was a practicing attorney in Chicago. He had a wife and four children. And they were going to travel Europe. Well, business detained him, but he sent his wife and four daughters on a steamship overseas. And on that journey, the ship ran into another ship and sank. And most of the people on that ship died. His wife was rescued. And when she got back to the countryside, she sent a telegraph. And she wrote these two words, saved, alone. So that told Mr. Spafford that his four daughters perished. Can you imagine the heartache? You imagine the pain. You imagine the grief. He penned these words from that tragedy. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I like even better what Job said. Job lost much more than Mr. Spafford lost. Job lost all of his substance. Job had seven children, and God sent a wind, crushed the house, and killed all of his children. God took his health. His wife turned against him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Job wrote this. Job arose and rent his mantle. Oh, he was grief-stricken. Shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshiped God. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, the believer is not free from trouble. But God has promised grace for every trial. God has promised grace for every trial. He said His grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12 declares this. He said, "For my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The believer does have trials, but faith, true faith, endures patiently, looking to the hand of our loving Father who sends the trial our way. Love accepts them, seeing they come from the hand of our Father, whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receives. The believing heart says He does all things well. And the believing heart, in the midst of heartache, toil, and trouble in his soul, he says, "It is well with my soul." Considering our sin, it is well with the righteous. He put away our sin. In a day of trial, it is well with the righteous, for He upholds us. He sustains us. He gives us grace to help in time of need, doesn't He? Thirdly, in the day of death, now we're going to die. Let's just face it. This body is one step closer to the grave. This day brings me one day closer to this body going to the grave. David said, "Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." In the day of death, it shall be well with the righteous. Who says so? Who says so? Is that just my philosophy? God says so. It shall be well with the righteous. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Now listen to these scriptures. And these are familiar to all of you. I pray the Lord would burn them into our soul. Psalm 116. Blessed, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That's precious to Him. Revelation 14. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed day. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In the day of death, for the believer, it shall be well. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To vacate this body. That's what happens at death. That is what happens at death. Death is a separation. It's a separation of our soul from this earthly tabernacle of flesh that must go back to the dust. You see, death to the believer is not punishment. It's promotion. It's graduation. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of death. My friend, don't weep for me when I die. Weep for yourself, but don't weep for me. It'll be well with the righteous in the day of death. Fourthly, in the day of judgment, in the day of judgment, it shall be well with the righteous. In the day of judgment, day of judgment. He'll gather all nations before Him, and He will gather the sheep on His right hand. He'll divide the nation and the goat on His left, and He'll say to them in that last day, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It'll be well with the righteous. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It shall be well with the righteous in the day of considering our sin, in the day of trial, in the day of death, and in the day of judgment. It shall be well. Look back at the text, Isaiah 3, verse 10. The last part of that verse, did you catch that? The last part of that verse. It says, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Now, under the old covenant, covenant of law, under the old covenant, national Israel was promised earthly prosperity upon the observance of the law and penalty for not observing the law. You can read that all the way through the Old Testament. But under the covenant of grace in Christ Jesus, every believer is fully and eternally rewarded upon the fruit of His doing. His doing, not ours. Through His righteous obedience and by His dying obedience unto death. Christ has purchased for us unnumbered blessings. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and Adam all died. For by the obedience of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous in Him. Through His one obedience unto death. So we can say, we shall eat the fruit of His doing. Oh, it shall be well with the righteous. Now here's the flip side. Misery of the wicked, eternal misery. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them. For the reward of his hand shall be given. Payday is coming. The wages of sin is death. We can go back over these same four points that we just gave and boldly say that it shall be not well. It shall be all bad news for the unbeliever. Woe unto the wicked. To face your sin with no atonement, no sacrifice, how eternally dreadful. It shall be ill with the wicked. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Our Lord said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. To face your sin with no atonement. Secondly, to endure trial, heartache, and grief with no comfort. with no comforter, with no grace, no faith, no hope in trial. Everything that comes your way works to your eternal damnation. Not good. That's right. It shall be ill with the wicked. In the day of death, to die without God, without Christ, with no mediator, no Savior. Oh my soul, how dreadful. How dreadful. There is one God and one mediator between God and sinners. I want Christ to stand between me and God, don't you? I want that mediator. Those who die without Christ have no mediator. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In the day of judgment, it won't be well with the righteous. Not in the day of judgment. To stand before a thrice holy God and hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. It shall be ill with the wicked in that day. In closing, may the Lord our God be pleased to convict all of us, beginning right here. Starting right here, all the way back there. May the Lord our God convict all of us and show us our great need of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace in our heart to continually flee by faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ for grace, mercy, forgiveness, salvation. May He give us great love for Him. And may we say with the Apostle Paul, I count everything else ruin, dung, loss, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Now the promise of Scripture is this. In Hebrews 4:16. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has entered into the heavens, that's seated on the right hand of God, our great God says this, in Christ Jesus, by Him, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly, boldly, with confidence, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. My friend, it shall be well with the righteous. Look to Christ. Look to Christ, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For He said, I am God, a just God and Savior. There is no other.